Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Greetings to you on this very fine day. It's a wonderful day. Oh, my God, did I hear some blah, blah, blah? Well, but it's overcast and dreary, cold in some places. Yeah, I know, but don't let the weather rule your day. Find that warm, beautiful place in your head and your heart and have yourself a bright, bright, sunshiny day. That's what I'm talking about. I'll tell you, most days you really do have to take charge of stuff like that. I don't like bad weather days any more than the next person, but that's when you got to say, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Don't let the weather dampen your spirit, too. Hold on to your happy. Or whenever you need to, go find some happy somewhere. That's what I'm thinking. Well, I'm talking to someone today who is pretty masterful at that, making people happy, making people feel good, making people laugh. And don't you love to laugh? I know I should certainly do. I really, really do. My special guest today is comedian Nick Arnett, and he's been bringing the happy to a lot of hearts during his career. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be doing with your life? Indeed it is. It's my pleasure to have the feel-good, funny guy with me today, comedian Nick Arnett. Welcome to the Foxology stage.
Yay! Hooray for Silver Ray! What a day! How many more rhymes can I make?
Yeah.
Well, I have to clap my hands though, because I'm happy and I know it, Silver Ray. Okay, so I'm clapping for you. Yay!
Well, thank you very much. I'm taking a little bow. You don't see it, but that's what I'm doing, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate
Well, thank you for having
that.
Me on the show.
Well, it's
what
exciting
an honor.
To have you for sure. Same here. Same here. Looking forward to getting in on what you've been doing with yourself and all of that. And one of the things I love to do to kick off these conversations for people to hear is, you know, what your backdrop is like, what your background is like. I'm always interested in how people got positioned in their careers and things like that. So if you want to, we can go way back, because I want to know where you labeled the funny guy in high school. So let's go back.
You want to go that far back? Okay, wow. We're going to go way, okay. Well, I'm a baby boomer.
Why
so
not?
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to take the whole time just going back here. Well, I think where I started with the funny, I can remember was very shy, terrified whenever I'd have to stand in front of a classroom when I was young. But I realized that if I could do something funny and get people to laugh, then I wasn't nervous anymore, because I felt like I had a connection with them, that they were on my side. So I think it was more of a defense mechanism, or not defense, but maybe coping mechanism, that if there was laughter, then there was connection, then I was comfortable. So I think that was it. Even today, it's kind of the same thing. If I'm in front of an audience that's non-responsive, I get pretty nervous and shy. But hopefully, you know, that doesn't happen too often anymore, so that's good. So anyway, that's how I started. And then I went to college at Colorado State University, and I wanted to go into business, and I didn't really like that so much once I got out of school. I didn't really like the corporate world that much, but went into mortgage banking. I did that for 4 years, because that's how long it takes a loan to be approved, right? That's a joke, okay?
Sometimes.
There you go. So I did that, and I saw Tim Allen, the summer of 1980, I saw Tim Allen in Denver on a TV talk show, experimental TV talk show at night. And he said he'd be at the Comedy Works in Denver. Didn't even know there was a comedy club in Denver. So I went and saw Tim Allen, relatively unknown comic, at that time. Never laughed so hard in my life. And then, so I started watching comedy. Started watching comedy probably for a couple of years. I would go, several times a month just to watch great comics. And ultimately, someone dared me to try it. And March 26, 1984, I hopped on the stage in Denver. And during that time, there was a local comic about ready to make it big. You might have heard of her, Roseanne. Heard of her?
Yeah, I think I have.
Yeah. So she was there, and it was pretty neat because I would be an opening act for her. She was awesome. So it was a great scene, great place to learn the craft, and then did the road pretty extensively for quite some time. And then I work clean, so a friend of mine, Ken Davis, said that speaking would also be a really good match for me, and it is, and that's really what I like the most. I like, if I could choose what I want to do for a gig, would be a speaking engagement, humor with a message. That's what I really, that's what I like. That's why I call myself the feel-good funny guy. So
yeah.
That's
well,
sort of
know,
it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, Nick, you know, I think that's so interesting. So you discovered that you were pretty funny or could be pretty funny as a young guy. Were you one of the kids who did pranks at school, or what did you do to launch your funny when you were younger? I know you said you know it was kind of a coping mechanism. I'm just kind of curious. I always think of guys like you, or you know, pulling the girl's hair and acting like you didn't, and you know, maybe putting the gum on the chair.
Well, I was a bit like that, but I've got to be honest with you. I think it was mostly for attention, because I grew up in there's five kids. I have four sisters and no brothers. I'm the middle child. So how about that, huh? Two older and two younger. So I think a lot of it was just for attention. So I would do all kinds of goofy stuff. Church youth group, actually, we would do skits at church youth group, and that only encouraged me to do more funny. So, because I always loved being in front and being silly. So I think those things just kind of said, hey, funny is fun. But it's risky.
Yeah.
I've did some funny before. Yeah, it is.
You know, so, I asked you, were you, you know, how those, you know, you get those votes in high school for the yearbook at graduation time. Were you voted the most funny guy at school?
Was not. No, I think I was more of opinionated, so I was more pegged for being opinionated than funny. I was funny, but there were funny year
which
people.
Which could be the same thing.
Yeah, and there still are funny year people. I think, off stage I'm pretty calm, and a lot of people have no idea I do comedy. But, you know, you give me a microphone, and if you pay me, I'm even funnier. So so I just love it, yeah. Whenever I get in front of a crowd, I did an open mic night because I'm doing 30 new minutes this year. I'm writing a new 30 minutes of material. And I did an open mic locally, and a freebie. It was fun. But I just had a great time. As soon as I grab a mic, I'm in front of some folks. There were only about 10 people there, but I really had a good time. I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure. As I said, I think it's a wonderful thing to be doing with your life. You know, you just mentioned that you are working on a new delivery that's 30 minutes. And I know you like to combine life, which is what most comedians do. Life, in some ways, depending on which direction you're looking at it from, can be pretty funny. So when you're sitting down and you're creating – what's that process like? What are you going over? What are you thinking about? What are your notes about when you're creating your jokes and the funny things you want to say?
Well, that's a great question. Several things. Some might be things that just bother me, so maybe it gives me a way to vent, or other things that I think people decide are just great, but I just don't understand how they can see things that way. For instance, I'm working on a bit now, and I think some people are going to get mad at me right now. But I think baseball is really boring. I think baseball is extremely boring, okay? But here's the deal. So I'm working on a bit about how boring baseball is. But so I'm not really going into the joke too much now, but that's my process. But these guys, first of all, are some of the world's best athletes. It's extremely, extremely difficult to get up to professional baseball level. But really, if they're on a really good team with a really good pitcher, they hardly have anything to do. They just stand around all the time because nobody's getting a hit. Nobody's running bases, right? Nothing's happening. And that's a perfect game. That's called a no-hitter, right? I mean, that is so boring. Nothing's happening, Silver. Nothing. That is boring. You know, why don't they get like the junior varsity pitcher from the local high school to pitch, right? So that way everybody gets to hit, right? Or bring T-ball back. Use that for professional baseball. Everybody gets to hit. That's why somebody's moving all the time at least, right? We need things happening.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny because I remember asking a girlfriend of mine to go to a baseball game with me, and she stared at me directly into my eyes without saying a word for about 30 seconds and said, "You're kidding me, right?"
Right?
But I think you have to be a baseball lover to understand that it's not just about the game. It's about the relaxation and the weather and eating some hot dogs and listening to all the funny music and the wave and all of that stuff. It's not just about that.
Well, that's the thing. You could do almost all of that stuff for free at the local park, couldn't you? Yeah.
not
have to pay for parking or anything. Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, people get so excited when somebody gets a hit and they make it to first base and they get really excited. It's like, wow, really? You just set your expectations a little higher. Wow.
Yeah, well, okay. It is pretty funny because I've talked to many people who do feel like that is just a long time to sit and watch and wait for things to happen. But as I said, you kind of have
and
to be a baseball lover
right
at heart.
And pay him millions and millions of dollars to do it, to do nothing. Wow. I want that gig.
Yeah. Well, it's easier than it looks, Nick. But anyway, that sounds like
they should put like a soccer game going on in the outfield or something, yeah. While it's going on, something else going on.
So
people are moving. Yeah, seriously.
Or a movie
have you ever been to baseball? The most exciting
idea, huh?
Part of—they have those little fillers. Like you look at the screen, and they have like three cars racing, and you guess which one's going to win. I mean, that's more exciting than the baseball game.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, Nick, I can tell you don't love baseball, but anyway.
Yeah.
What are some of the other areas
well,
that you're going to go into to develop some funny content?
Well, you get into things that frustrate you. For instance, traffic. I live in Los Angeles, which is the worst traffic in the country. And, you know, bumper-to-bumper traffic. So this is what you do when you get in traffic in Los Angeles, bumper-to-bumper traffic. You just put your car in neutral and let the earth rotate. All right? So that's it. You just use it as a coping mechanism. Sure. Which brings me to the feel good. But really, what I like to talk about, we have the humor, but when things upset you in life, we need to ask ourselves four questions. What part of this can I do nothing about? What part of this can I do something about? How can I keep these negative thoughts going and get myself even more upset? And then lastly, at this point, what are my options? So that all goes part with the good attitude. You talked about the good attitude up front, and that's what you need. So the humor is fun because humor is an excellent way to identify problems or things that have gone wrong. And if you want a good example of that, sitcoms are popular because there's an element called conflict, things that have gone wrong. People can identify with them. And that's why they laugh about it. So when you can laugh about it, you can talk about it. So I think humor is just a wonderful mechanism for talking about stressful things in a way that it brings them to light, but people are laughing. And like I said, if you can laugh about it, you can talk about it. It does it in a nice way as opposed to a negative way. And by the way,
well,
I want to also...
you have chosen... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go on.
People out there listening, sarcastic humor is okay from the comedy stage because that's kind of the venue for it, but it's not good in the workplace. It's not good in the home environment because it puts people on the defensive. If somebody is the other on the receiving end of sarcastic humor, that person wants to lash back. That's just a natural reaction for people to defend themselves. So it's very negative. It can be extremely costly in relationships, and it's certainly in the workplace. I've seen people get fired for things they've said in the workplace. So do not use sarcastic humor in the workplace, and try not to use it in your daily interactions. Your subconscious mind takes it all in, true or not. So stick with the positive. If you want to do the sarcastic, bring it to the comedy stage.
Well, I can assure you of one thing, Nick. Anybody that comes to see your show that's a baseball fan, you might be dodging some baseballs.
Well, I did something. I'm still working on this bit, but I did it one time, and this pastor of a church, he was so mad at me. He was the pastor of a church. He was really angry with me for saying baseball was boring. So it's still a work in process, but by the goal is to record a new CD in September. So hopefully you'll be hearing it on the radio all worked out. And everybody will be happy.
I know it's like anything. It's like anything else. You got to look at it and decide where it needs some polish and smoothing out, right?
You know, it's exactly that. Yes.
I know you've worked with quite a few recognizable names as well. Tell us about that, and tell us what you learned from some of them. I know you're a pro now in your own zone, but I'm just curious what you guys are able to get from each other.
Well, it was just fantastic, and this was when I was in Denver in my earlier part of the career, where these big names would come through to the comedy work. So, and most of them were just extremely nice. Like Tim Allen, I actually got to open for him several times when he came through town. Jay Leno came through town once, and he was awesome. And Roseanne, like I say, was part of the local scene. Louis Anderson, but they were all just fantastic. And I think Tim Allen influenced me a lot because he was so professional, very professional, and I liked that about him. And this was way before he got really big, way, way before. But it was just fun hanging out. Even Jerry Seinfeld came through a few times, and I got to open for him. And he's a hard worker. He's a craftsman, works really hard. So that showed me that a work ethic is really important. So, it was just a wonderful experience. I just feel so grateful that I was able to do that. I'm not sure people could do that as easily today as they could back then in the 80s when I started.
You know, I recently heard Steve Harvey say that when a comedian comes out on stage, that they usually have a goal, like a time frame where they really need to get you, the audience, engaged in laughing. And if that doesn't happen within a certain time frame, that it kind of means that you're losing them, or your stuff just kind of fell flat. What are your thoughts on that? Is that comedic timing and presentation, if it gets lost at the beginning, is it truly lost?
Very difficult to get them back. Yeah, I really agree with him. If you don't get them right away, or for me, one of the issues when I used to work the road, especially a lot of one-nighters in these little bars, you'd be in a different city every day. Earlier in my career, and these were pretty rough places. And I'd work with comics, and some of them had really dirty material, and I've always worked clean. So they were already in the mind for hearing dirty material, but then I walk up and then I try to do clean material, It's really hard to get them because they're in a different mindset. So it is extremely difficult. I liken it to maybe somebody who's in a boxing match and you hit him with your very best shot right square in the jaw and it has no effect. And I've had really tough crowds where I'll go ahead and use some of my very best stuff right up front just to try to get them and can't get them at all. So that's panic time then. So fortunately it doesn't happen too often, but I actually do prefer speaking engagements to comedy shows if I have a choice. Because I like combining humor and then motivation and inspiration. I like to have all of those three elements in what I do.
Yeah.
That's really what I like the most.
And I think it presents for you to just a multitude of opportunities when you're presenting that way. So let's go ahead and segue into that because time flies when we're doing this, and I really do want people to know about your books and how to get hold of you if they would like you to perform for them. When you say you like bringing message, motivation, and humor, give us an example of a venue and what you talk about, because I see that being a very acceptable mix of ideas to bring to probably most any kind of audience.
Well, yeah, my most popular talk is called Me, We, and Glee: How to Have a Great Attitude, Work as a Team, and Keep Your Sense of Humor. And my book is titled exactly the same thing. How about that? And that's what I talk about, how to have a great attitude. Just like how you talked at the very beginning of your show, I mean, you're in charge of your thoughts, so don't let anyone or anything determine what kind of day you're going to have or what kind of person you're going to be. So I was just reading something that people who think positive thoughts actually many times get better. Not using any medication at all, but just thinking positively. And that's proof. Now, people out there are using medication, keep using it if the doctor prescribed it. But I'm just saying that the power of a positive attitude is a real thing because it's much easier, and I think you would agree with me on this too, to think yourself into a feeling than to feel yourself into an action. So many people wait to do something until they feel like it. And you might not ever get around to something if you wait until you feel like it. But if you start doing it, you start making the action happen, then the feeling of doing it will come. Then you'll be glad you're doing it.
You know,
what do you think of that?
I'm glad you brought that up. And well, I'm getting ready to tell you, it's just a little aside, but I think it's critical to mention right now for anybody who hears this. When we are doing things like you just described and stimulating our senses, there is a true and real proven, you can ask anybody in the medical field that's science, there are chemical reactions that are very positive in our cellular structure that feed into a healthier work in our systems. And a lot of people, you know, they hear us talk about positive stuff and laughing all the time, but it's very real how that works in our actual systems in our bodies. And that's why people do feel better. There's something going on that's beyond your emotion, beyond your thoughts when that happens. So I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's something that really needs to be recognized. It's not just the feel good moment. The more you feel good, the more you talk to yourself about positive things, the more you listen to funny stuff or things that make you happy on, you know, whatever you're listening to or reading or whatever, there is an incredible thing that goes on inside ourselves. So I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm glad you're in that business too. I have really enjoyed talking to you, and
it's a real thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's a real thing, the positive attitude. It's real. And people out there, you want something simple, if they're having trouble focusing on positive, get yourself a little spiral notebook, you know, for $1, and just start writing down every day something good that happened to you. It might only be a couple things on one day. But when you start learning to look for things that are positive, your list will get longer and longer, and your attitude is going to get better and better. Try it out. And even if you're healing from something, maybe focus on the positive parts of that and see if you start feeling better as well. Try it out.
For sure. Well, I know you've got lots of stuff on your website. I want you to point people to that and let them know how they can also get you on their stage, on their in their venues, in their parties, or whatever else is going on. I think you're a great guy, and I love that you enjoy keeping it real, keeping it clean, keeping it motivated. So tell people where they can reach out to you, Nick.
Oh, thank you. NickArnett.com, A-R-N-E-T-T-E, NickArnett.com. And you can find my book there as well. And you can find the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's an e-reader, too. You can find it on Kindle or the iBook store as well. And also, I have a little video series that I'd actually like to take to PBS. That's one of my goals, is to pitch it to PBS this year. It's called Cool People I Know or Meet with Nick Arnett, and I just talk to people. So you can see the list of that on my website. Just look at that, and you can see all kinds of episodes. I've done 67 of them so far. So take a look at those on my website as well. And maybe if you want me to interview you, let me know. If you're in the Los Angeles area, I'd love to come and interview you.
That sounds really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Now, is there any particular venue that you'd really like to speak to? I mean, of course, being on television, that's awesome. But what if there's somebody that's just having a spectacular event that's, you know, personal? Are you available for things like that as well?
Oh, done all kinds of things. Yeah, certainly corporate events are good. Association meetings, team meetings are good. Any business environment, because that talk that I do really always applies to business groups. They always need to know how to work as have a good attitude, work as a team, and keep their sense of humor. You need those three elements in any workplace. But any venues, I've done all kinds of anniversaries, fundraisers. I'm a professional auctioneer as well. I did a big auction in San Francisco last week, and then one here in town this weekend I'll be doing. So, I've sold things for $2.5 million before. So, yeah, like to do that, all of that stuff. Yeah, clean comedy.
Well, it's kind of be able to be multi-talented. So I think that is wonderful. I want to thank you for being my guest today. It's been fun talking to you, and I love the tag that you're the feel-good funny guy. I can only imagine. I wish there was time to even have you do a skit, but I think you've got a lot of that on your website for any of us that want to go there and
a whole bunch
and
of
take
it.
A
right.
look and and get
yeah.
get our funny in for the day.
Sure, you can find it also on Spotify or Pandora. Just look up Nick Arnett. You can find my bits on there. If you have the satellite radio, I'm on the Laugh USA channel. You can hear me on that. So, yeah, find me. Follow me.
All
I'm
right.
on Facebook and Twitter, all that social media. So find me and follow me on those too.
Awesome, Nick. Thank you once again. And I appreciate you being my special guest today. And just keep up the good work. Stay blessed and stay funny, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Silver Ray. All right, take care, my friend. All right, bye.
All right, have a good one. And thank all
you
of
too.
You very much for listening in today. I really appreciate your listenership. You do know that. I say that every time you're tuned in or you've taken the time to enjoy one of the podcasts. I'd like to mention that they are available 24/7. You can look them up anytime and listen to anything that I've done on the air. I'd love it if you tell your friends on your social media platforms about Boxology. I'm always bringing something fun, exciting, empowering, really good for the heart, for the mind, and for the soul. So I'm going to look forward to talking to you next time. Have an amazing day. Be good. Be blessed. Be awesome.